recording at 5 Drive for the theme song for Adventures in Dog Photography. Go!
Go to a party, they say, what do you do for a job? I look them right in the eye and I say that I photograph dogs. Mostly people don't believe that this is an actual profession, but look in your dog's eyes and tell me that you don't get cute aggression. Cameras and lenses and technical tools, let's discuss a couple golden rules. Don't get peed on, don't drop treats, be prepared and bring various needs. Wagging butts at hypervelocity, come and join me on adventures in dog photography.
Oh, it was so good. Why?
F*** off. And that, my friends, is the dirty truth of how the theme song for Adventures in Dog Photography came to be.
And that concludes today's episode. We'll see you next time on Adventures in Dog Photography, wherever podcasts are available.
You can see our creative process from the inside out right there. It's very like violent and combative.
Yeah, I was going through I have a bunch of like phone audio recording memos, like demos of different songs and things like that. And I was just skimming through and I hear Kaylee's little Muppet voice beeping in. And I was just like, what is this? And I'm like, oh, it's the demo to the Adventures in Dog Photography theme song. That was written. You wrote the lyrics and I came up with the chords in like 2 seconds. And then like I think we sang it through one time, then recorded that. And you royally screwed up the ending.
No. The ending was beautiful. And that was my original ending. It was my original idea.
Yeah.
And I had some other original ideas. I said some words a little differently. I said some terms a little differently. It had that nice spice. It had that nice Greer spice.
Before I went in and I quashed it.
So that was Sam's big idea today, guys, by the way, was he wanted to play the not actual version of the theme song for you. And I said, that's not very nice because most people I talk to and most people I know say that they sing the theme song every time they listen to the episodes and you're really going to screw them up because it's not going to be the right version.
Listen, it's good to see the behind the scenes and how everything was created. And also, like, if you're jonesing for the theme song, go back and listen to any episode of Adventures in Dog Photography.
And by the way, that was a one time ever only. Never again will we ever play the off-brand theme song.
Yeah, I'm willing to bet that we'll play different versions of the theme song at some point, but that's the only time we'll ever play that version.
Wait, why won't we play different versions of the theme? The theme song is perfect.
Maybe we're recording on the road and we have access to a mariachi band, a small
yes,
orchestra.
A conductor, yeah. Yep. That's what I was thinking.
A piano.
I can do the conducting. I can wave a stick in the air. You're gonna see my stick from so far away. You're gonna be intimidated by my stick.
I took 2 semesters of conducting.
Did
I took
you?
Conducting 1 and 2 at
Berklee
College of Music. That was one of the hardest classes.
Is there special special like patterns for the stick?
Yeah. Well, imagine if there wasn't.
I don't know.
Imagine if you're just like, I mean, because when you look at it, you know, for not knowing anything about music or whatever, you're like, oh, that man's waving a stick and then music's happening. And like, to a certain extent, like that's true. Like if that conductor doesn't wave the stick in the right way, should the second violin just play the wrong thing? Like, no, they should know how to play it anyways.
Yeah, likely they're like Juilliard trained and they know
right.
Like what to do if the guy with the stick loses control. also, what is the official term for the stick?
It's a baton.
It's called a baton?
I own a baton somewhere.
Why?
Because it took 2 semesters of conducting.
I wish that you would use it. You would have used it when we recorded that Adventures in Dog Photography song. Because then I would have known what timing you wanted from me.
You would have just wound up grabbing the stick and then poking me in the eye with it.
Oh, something like that.
Yeah.
Likely.
But no, if you're conducting, you have to know how to read a full score. So you need to know like how to play every instrument in an orchestra. Which
so you're like the super mastermind musician up at the front if you're a conductor. You're like super shredder.
Yeah, you're like Super Shredder from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2 Secret of the Ooze.
Yeah, you're like the guy.
Played by pro wrestler Kevin Nash.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
Super Shredder?
Yep.
Really?
Also known as Diesel from the WWF.
Okay, so what's another like good like final boss that could be a conductor?
The Rock.
Bowser.
Bowser.
Who else?
M. Bison.
M. Bison's a final boss?
Yeah, from Street Fighter.
I know that. But I didn't realize he was a final boss.
Who else would be the final boss?
Chun-Li.
No.
Yes.
No. We've gotten way off the rails.
No, probably like Blanca, though, or like M. Vega, or whatever his name was. Vega.
Yeah, not M.
Vega. Son of M. Bison.
No.
Third cousin.
They changed the last name?
All right, listen. You're right. That's weird. But also, hello, and welcome to Adventures in Dog Photography, because nobody on this who listens to this podcast plays Street Fighter.
That's not true.
I bet if in the Venn diagram of overlap, there is like
minimal overlap.
2-3% overlap.
Speaking of this podcast, I saw recently there was some article online about like the top like dog photography podcasts, and this was ranked number one.
I know!
which is very, very lovely, but also really funny, because like I feel like the dog photography information is on the light side, and the personality section of it is on the heavy side.
But I mean, maybe that goes to show that like strictly informative podcasts that don't have like, you know, the personal aspect of it is maybe less endearing for people.
Yeah, and honestly, like I think if you do listen to our podcast, like I think we will drop a lot of knowledge in and amongst all this stuff, but it's never organized and like, today we're going to talk about the top 10 blah, 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 blah. Like, that's very rare for us. But like, I think if you listen to those stories, there are a lot of lessons to be learned within it. And
well, the middle part is supposed to be the part that has information.
The middle part.
And every other part is just like, beep, boop, bop, bow, I got pants on, beep, boop, bow.
Yep.
And I brushed my hair today. I actually did brush my hair today.
You did, yeah.
I know. Don't I look lovely?
You started off the day with a big video call, lovely. Which is very exciting.
See, that's the thing. When I do these, like, when I do these video calls and the Zoomy boys, the Zoomarinos, I gotta get ready. And it's kind of the worst when someone's like, "Do you want to jump on a call?" And you're like, "Oh shit!" You're like, "Oh my god, my day is ruined because I have to go spend 30 minutes like brushing my hair and putting on clothes." But it's good though, because it means good, awesome things are happening, and we're moving and shaking and doing cool calls with certain like brands and organizations. So I'm very happy. Mm-hmm. And I will say, there is something nice about like video calls in that. You get to like see a person's face and expressions and stuff, which you lose on a traditional phone call. You don't really get to like connect as deeply, I think, as when you can see them. So, I mean, the only thing is I get like so distracted by my own stupid face on the screen. I can't stand it. I do my best to make my little screen as small as possible and put it like way in the corner, so I don't keep looking at my own little face, like beeping around and bobble in my head when I talk and stuff. I get really, does anybody else get really distracted by themselves on a video call? Because I sure do.
I think, yeah, it's like when you look at a group photo and it's like, and you're in it, and like that's the first thing you look for is like, how do I look in this group photo?
It's just terrible. Like if I minimize my little window, I'm fine, because then I can like look right at their screen. But sometimes I do this thing, I did it today actually too, where I point at someone, like I'm talking and I'm making a point that I think will apply to like one of the people on the call. So I'll be like, yeah, you know how it is. And I'll like point in their direction. And then I'm like, oh my God, that's not at all how it works for them. Number one. And number two, like,
people
they don't have it arranged.
At.
They don't, well, they don't have it arranged the same way on their desktop. So they're like, four squares might be in a totally different order as well. So it makes no sense at all.
Yeah.
And sometimes I do it like in an endearing way. I don't think in a rude way. I really don't. But sometimes when there's like four or five people on a call, I forget everyone's names. And I'm like, shit, I really want to address like the social media person, but I forget what their name is.
Their names are literally labeled on their window.
No, but not always. Some people have like a username. And also, actually, in today's case, on one of the calls I was on, a couple people were sitting together in a room. Do you know what I mean? So yeah. Like they didn't have a label, or somebody labeled it, but it wasn't the right person, like because they were sitting in the background or whatever. Anyway, it was whatever. Zoom calls. Yeah, no, you guys know how it is in these post-COVID days. It's like so much of that.
I will throw out a tip that I'll use for Zoom calls sometimes, and literally just write the person's name down on one of my other windows, like in my notes app or something.
That's usually what I do. I actually had a notebook in front of me, and I was like writing on my notebook, and I was like talking about how I love a notebook. I'm like, I love a traditional notebook. And I was like talking about doing that instead of typing. And then I missed the girl's name as I was explaining about my notebook. Mm-hmm. Zemo, but so, I tell you what, I much prefer in-person conversations. Like, I will wait, like with friends or whatever, if they want to be like FaceTime, I'm like, no, I would much rather see you. Let's not FaceTime. Let's wait until, you know, this day next week, and I will drive 3 hours each way to see you, because I would much rather sit in front of your face and talk to you. Yeah. I cannot. All right, I shouldn't say hate phone calls, but.
No, you hate the phone.
I think it's pretty safe to say that I'm like borderline hatred for the phone.
It's listen, we celebrated our 14-year anniversary a couple days
That's
ago.
That's sick. Don't say that. That is disgusting. Sick. And I wanted a corned beef and cabbage so bad.
Yep, and that's what I'm making for you tonight.
I know. Thank you. I'm so excited. It's my favorite meal of all time.
So yes, we celebrated our 14-year anniversary. And during that entire 14 years, has never there been a one time when you've wanted to talk to me on the phone?
No. I'm like, babe, I'll see you when you get home, okay? What do you have to tell me? Just tell me when you get home.
Yeah. Not even right at the beginning.
No, I know. That's true. I've never been like that girl that's like, I'm going to be on the phone with my boyfriend for hours or whatever. Like, what's the point? I'll see you in a couple days and we'll just talk about it. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Like, well, listen, I'm all about though, like sitting down at a coffee shop in front of a fireplace over like coffee or tea, and I'll sit there for 6 hours and talk to somebody. I love that kind of connection. It's so genuine. It's so special. It's so real. You can reach out and touch somebody and give them a hug of support or love. I love talking to me. I love conversations. I love to dive deep into people's different minds and perspectives. I love that, mm-hmm. which is why I like non sequitur, but why I love like the workshops we do so much, is because we can sit with these people and like deeply get to know them and like spend like really special time with them that's very much dedicated to them. Whereas like some of these, you know, kind of like online, no shade or whatever, but like online coaching and online calls that a lot of people do, I just don't feel, if you've noticed, I've never really done that because everything I do is in person with people, because I just feel so connected to people in person. But I have a hard time with like digital interfaces between me and somebody else. I feel like I can't really connect deeply. So yeah, that's my deal.
Yeah, well, you were born at the right time. If you were born now, everything in your life would be Zoom.
Today, my dad said that he was the product designer and management of me, and my mom was the production manager. And he said, so my I don't know if my siblings listen to this podcast. I think my brother sometimes does. My dad said, I said, what are you doing, Dad, today? And then I said, Dad, say whatever I want, because that's his favorite thing to say, whatever I want. So he responds, whatever I want. And I said, today's serving of whatever I want is probably bingo. And he said, at bingo now. And I said, I knew it. And he said, smart. And I said, it's only because I've got the name, Greer. He said, yeah, and I built you. I said, yep, built to perfection. And he said, yeah, not bad. You were the third build. Practiced on the first two so I could get it right the third time. And I responded with, third time's a charm, as they say. They made up that saying because of me, you know.
Mm-hmm. They sure did. That's some Greer talk right there.
Charlie Greer, shout out. Charlie Greer is about to be 80 years old.
He turns 80 years old on Tuesday, April
16th. April 16th, special day.
That's wonderful.
Dad's day.
I'm not sure if your dad listens to the podcast, but I'm pretty sure he follows us on Instagram.
He does, yeah.
I would, let's spam those comments with happy birthday, Charlie.
Yes, we should.
Happy 80th. And it's remarkable to have your dad in such pristine condition at age 80.
Pristine is right. I think he's a magical being.
I think he's going to be one of those guys that like, you know, you're like, you're still around and you're how old? And then you do the math and you're like, are you 104 years old? I think he's going to live into his hundreds.
Well, my dad is like the coolest dad of all dads on earth, because he was a pretty well-known drag racer in the like 70s around this area. So often if I talk to anybody, like especially older guys, like in the car world at all, like any facet of the car world, if I mention my dad's name, they're like, oh my God, Charlie Greer, Charlie from, you know, like
New
like
England Motor Speedway,
New England Dragway, like Sunday, come see Charlie Greer and his and his instant tea. Like, he had like all these like records of like for his timing and how fast he was. And then he was also an ice bike racer. Mm-hmm. Like a motorcycle racer, but on ice. And so he puts like studs or whatever in his tires and snow spikes in the tires or whatever, and would race like on ice. And so he's really well known for that too. So we were going through like his photos and stuff last night, and my God, coolest dad ever. I'm like looking at these pictures like, this is so sick. Like, I would have wanted to be his friend. Instead, I became his child. So that's pretty good, because because actually he is my friend.
Mm-hmm.
So happy birthday, Dan. Thanks for being so cool. Maybe we'll put up one of his pictures on the Instagram. How about that? Why don't we throw it up in a story at least?
We'll put something up on Tuesday so you guys can spam that photo with lots of great birthday comments. We can show it to him when we see him. And I'm sure it will make his day extra special. So happy 80th, Charlie. And I'm sure we'll do something fun and special on that day.
Yow!
Hey, question. Do we want to dive right into our topic, or do we want to talk about the results of the Junie?
That was
she even?
Yes, that was going to be the next segment. And it was going to be so like eloquently done. It was going to be so like, here's a hard stop on our first segment. And now the second segment is... Mm-hmm. Junie, what is she even? And it was going to be like, beep, boop, pop, pow, theme music for Junie. And then you ruined it.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, let's just wrap up the podcast there then.
Yep. So let's see you later. Also, I did want to address, yes, good question, Sam. Mm-hmm. We'll get to that in 1 second. I did want to address that we are 12 hours late with this podcast today. 12 or 24? It'll be about 12 hours late.
Well, if we usually launch at midnight and it's currently 8 o'clock in the evening, then what's that math?
I don't know. She 18 can't do hours.
Nope.
20 hours.
20 hours.
20
you
hours.
Did it.
I just guessed. Yeah. Wild, wild guess.
Yeah.
So we're 20 hours late. Sorry, guys. If you were waiting, we so appreciate you. We had such a crazy cuckoo bananas day yesterday, and I didn't get home until like, what was it? Like close to 11. Mm-hmm. And we had all this other stuff we still had to do for some of our clients and some admin stuff that was like due. And then I was like, oh my God, we got to record. And it was like so late. So we thought, okay, they'll forgive us. And we usually put this out on Friday. So if we record it on Friday and still put it out on Friday, it's okay. But usually we like to have it up at midnight.
I had some media related video editing stuff to do. And I had to import footage from a VHS tape.
Yes.
Which was so funny because on my desk, I always have my record player is on my desk because I like vinyl and that sort of stuff because I'm a nerd. So I had this VCR next to this record player and then also next to like my MacBook Pro. And I was like, what year are we in? This is very weird.
It's so fun.
Yep.
Isn't that fun?
Yep.
Old technologies. And when you hit rewind, at one point you hit rewind on this VHS and I was like, oh my God, it's breaking. I was like, stop. I was so nervous because it's like sounds awful.
It's just how they sound.
It's chunky.
It's just how they sound. And also, just real quick, I just want to put this out there because I have heard the term for the last however many years, 10, 15 years, VHS player. It's called a VCR.
I'm sorry. Because I did that last night too. I remember I did it like 6 times. I was like, where's the VHS? The VHS. And you're like, VCR.
Yeah.
And
I understand, like, then it went to, like, DVDs and DVD players. It wasn't, like, something else.
That's true. It wasn't a different term. What does VCR mean? Don't screw this up.
Video.
You look nervous.
Console.
You look
recorder.
Nervous. I disagree. Do you want me to look it up? Hold on.
Listen, you...
All right, let's have our own mini contest. And if you lose, you're out of the house.
Wait, well, what are you saying that it stands for? She's going to say exactly the same thing I just said.
No, I'm going to say... visual cootie rewards.
Okay. Well, there it is.
Yeah. I know. I had to really pause and wait all that time
and
to really build up for that.
Yeah. That's very good.
I actually have no idea. Hold on. Oh my God. I feel so silly.
Yeah.
Come on.
What is
it? Out with it.
What
out
is
with it?
It,
Sam.
Is it video console recorder?
Video cassette recorder.
Oh, I was so close. Come on.
Don't you feel stupid? And now you're out of the house and it's raining today. So pack up your raincoat. Get on your boots.
All right.
See ya.
Let's
I'm going to stay dry and warm in here.
Let's get to it. We had so many responses for our little contest. Junie, what is she even?
Da 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 ba bow bow wow wow doobie doobie doo.
And yeah,
small theme song.
And I will say, while it doesn't win any prizes, I do think my favorite response is from your brother.
Yes, please give this a small platform for a second, because I cracked up.
Yeah, well, let me try to find the exact one, because we post, there's answers on like a couple different posts.
There's like three different things, yeah.
There's four different ones, but I will say, while he certainly didn't get it right, there was a reference in there that was, there it is. He said, 51.07 pity, 36.4% master splinter, which I thought was funny. But then this one really got me. It says 12.0008% Rick Allen, which like gave me pause for a second. I was like, Rick Allen. And then you're like, oh, that's the drummer from Def Leppard that has one arm. And that's really funny.
That's so sick. Actually, God, like drumming with one arm, that is so sick. Yeah. Good on him.
And then, yes, 3.7, Attorney Rosenblatt's assistant in corporate matters, which is Joshua's alter ego, where he's an attorney. And then number five, he says math is hard. So I don't think those percents add up.
No.
But the Rick Allen reference, really well done, and not from a guy that like listens to a ton of music. Nope. Or like is super into pop culture. So that's a good reference.
Yeah, that was I'm impressed. So shout out to Kenny Greer. Yes.
But what I will say is that nobody got all three fully correct, and we will reveal.
So I know. I have things to say.
Okay.
I always have things to say, as you know.
Do we want to reveal our winner first, or talk about the three things first?
We have to say the three things. Okay, so first, everybody, first and foremost, thank you so much for participating. This has been so fun. Since nobody's gotten it, we like so desperately want to just like keep it on and go another week until someone gets it. But we also realized that like it's already been longer than we thought it would be. And so in order to not drag it out forever and ever, what we have to do is pick the person that at least got the most of the answers right, because nobody got all of them.
Mm-hmm.
And then there came the conundrum of a couple people getting the same answer through, but we had to go through and find very explicitly who sent it through first.
Who sent it first?
So we do have our winner.
Yep.
Da-da-da-da. But first, I think what we'll do is we'll say the three breeds.
Yep.
And I was saying, Sam, I was hoping when I say, I'll say the three breeds.
Yeah.
And when I do, can you put a little sparkle effect around each one? Like I'll pause for sparkle effect.
Yep. Okay.
Number one. Highest percentage. I forget what it is, but it doesn't matter. These are the top three percentages inside of Junie. What is she even?
Mm-hmm.
Number one, Pitbull / Staffordshire Terrier. Sparkles.
I get them.
Number two, German Shepherd. And number three, Chow Chow.
Yep. What a mix.
I can't say the number three one too loud, because that's the same terminology that Joshua and Junie know for dinner.
Yeah.
And so you can't say those words ever. And when we were dealing with what she was and we were like reading it out and talking about it, she kept perking her ears up and doing crazy barking, because she was like, you're talking about dinner.
We were just throwing that term around willy nilly.
And I'm like, no, I'm talking about you, June Burke, your genetic identity, which blew me away. Okay. Let's back up. I was not surprised about the German Shepherd, because Junie has pretty coarse hair. Like she has not the smoothest, like super velvety hippo pit bull hair like a lot of pit bulls have. She's kind of coarse. She's a really soft little chin and little chest, but everything else is kind of like, yeah, coarse. I always thought it was very shepherdy, her hair.
Yeah. And we got a lot of people guessing Ridgeback, which like we also thought maybe originally, because she does have a tiny ridge.
Yeah, she does.
Which
have
is
a tiny
so
ridge.
Funny.
Yeah, yeah.
So we got a lot of people guessing that, but she actually didn't come back any percentage Ridgeback.
No, she didn't. Also, I did shout this out last week, but everyone who said like Pharaoh Hound and Podenco,
yep.
I totally am with you. I agree, and I can't believe that nothing like that came up. Now, I know, like, listen, we can all question the validity of these like genetic tests or whatever through, I think, what did we use? The Wisdom panel?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I realize that there's definitely room for error. There's a potential that some of this other stuff is like somewhere in there in very small percentages, because one of the things that did come back for her in a very small percentage was Peruvian street dog, which could be like millions of things, right? Because like street dogs are going to be just like a mishmash of so many different breeds.
Right. But it was like 1%.
That. I think that one was like 2% or something. But also she had like 3 or 4% Boston Terrier.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there was all kinds of weird things. But the biggest three were the pit bull slash Staffy. We said we were going to call that the same. And then German Shepherd and Chow Chow.
Yep.
So anyway, we do have a winner because we had nobody guessed all three of those things, but we do have one person that guessed two of them. And there were, like I said, I think a couple other people that did eventually also guess these same two, but they did it much later. So Sam,
yep.
I will let you announce the very first person that said both Pit Bull Terrier and German Shepherd.
Yep, and the winner of a very fancy Junie no swimming pool party towel is Susie McCracken.
Yow! Woo! I'm backing away from the mic because I'm screaming! Yow! Susie, congratulations! Congratulations, Susie, Susie! For you, a new Junie towel for you. Which is very exciting. I'm so excited. So, Susie, please send us your DM us on Instagram at Adventures in Dog Photography. Or I don't mind at all if you also, you can send me a message at Dog Breath Photography on Instagram as well. Either way, just reach out to us if you can once you hear this and send us your shipping address. We are actually, insider info, in a couple of days, like 5 days, we're going to Florida again. We will be gone for a month. So I would love to ship this out before we go so that you don't have to wait until we get back. That would be brilliant. So send me that address, baby. I promise I won't come murder you.
Okay. I got pretty weird at the end.
Well, you know, you gotta be sensitive with that information these days.
Yep, but congrats, Susie. There was one other person that guessed Chow Chow, but they did not include Pitbull or German Shepherd, so there was only one of the three.
Yeah.
And then also Chow Chow was the one thing that my Aunt Teresa said during Easter
that's
dinner.
That's right, Aunt Teresa.
She was like, I wonder if she has Chow Chow in her. I was like, holy crap, that was the magical answer.
Yeah, truly. I do think, like I said, there was a couple other people that did say German Shepherd and Pitbull, and so thank you, what great guesses, and I love you all, and I'm sorry, but Susie guessed, we went back very clearly to make sure of all the timestamps, and Susie did guess it like a full day before anyone else, so... Mm-hmm. She's our winner, lucky winner. But you know what? We should do more contests in the future. It would be really fun. I don't know what else we can do because we already know what Junie is, but maybe we find out what Joshua is. Or maybe we find out what your mother is, Sammo.
We already know what my mom is.
All right. What about your third cousin? We can say...
Nobody cares.
Where do they hail from? Well, whatever. There might be more contests. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
You know. But anyway, congrats. I also struggle like badly with like picking one winner for a thing. This happens when I have to cast dogs for photo shoots. Mm-hmm. So I'll have a client be like, okay, we need like 4 dogs only, but I need you to put out a model call. And I get so nervous because I'm like, oh no. Like if I put out a model call, like 80 dogs are going to apply and they're all going to be perfect and beautiful. And then I'm going to have to pick 4, or the client usually does or whatever. And then we have to send people emails like, oh my God, you didn't get picked. And I'm like, oh, I write this whole long diatribe about how special their dogs are to me and how it doesn't mean that their dogs aren't beautiful. And I have such a bad, hard time with this. I have a lot of issues surrounding it. So for the fact that all these lovely people guessed and only one person gets to win makes me feel really bad. So I'm really sorry, everyone, but I really do appreciate you.
Well, if everyone could win, then no one would be a winner.
I guess right? That's... Well, then everyone would be winners. When everyone's special, no one's special, as they say.
How do you feel about talking more into your microphone?
I just feel like my leg fell asleep again, so I have to do some work on it. Yeah. I gotta do some chiropractic work over here.
You have some serious blood circulation issues.
No, like massively. Do you look at the color of my leg?
Yeah, it's bright purple.
Do you see that? No, I do actually have like Raynaud's syndrome or
you've
whatever.
You've got hot dog skin syndrome.
I do. It's not cute, is it? It's really not cute. You know, I do my best.
Yeah.
But I think like genetically, so you know, you get some wins genetically and then you get like some total failures. And I'm happy about my wins, but I also know that absolutely for sure I got some massive failures. One of them being I have chubby fat fingers that look like hot dogs. I am not not a hand model.
Yep.
The other thing is I have like bad, my skin isn't so bad in that I like break out or anything. I don't really. But I have very pale skin that's like not very like nice or dewy or healthy looking. And also my circulation and the color of my skin because of it. I look like I'm purple half the time. So it's not that cute.
Yeah, this is more hot dog syndrome.
But babe. Yeah,
babe.
Babe.
Babe. Babe.
All right, hold on. Give me a second because my leg's coming back. So just hold down the fort for a while.
Hold down the fort. All right, we have a podcast to do. Stop. Everything you're doing, just stop it. Stop flailing. This is part of the podcast where you flail around.
Did we talk about my bite splint?
What? No, we don't need to talk. Listen, we talked so much about your stupid dental stuff.
No,
on the
I
podcast.
Know, but it's exciting. Absurd. Listen, it's they exciting know so much no about one. It. We should just continue on the saga. I got a bite splint, which means I don't grind my teeth now because my dentist looked at my mouth because I went there yesterday. I love my dentist, by the way. New England Dental Arts, shout out. I have the best dentist of all time who's ever lived. And I love going there. Who loves going to the dentist? I don't know. I do. And I will say, he looked at my mouth and he's like, you grind your teeth. And I was like, no. And he's like, no, you definitely grind your teeth. Here's how I can tell. You have all the signs. And then I started to realize that he's right. I do. And I wake up sometimes with headaches and my muscles in my jaw and my neck are so tight all the time. It's crazy. And it gives me headaches and it's really uncomfortable. And so then I went in yesterday and I was like, I'm having this pain in one of my teeth. Must have a cavity. And he's like looking at it. He's like on the x-ray and with his eyes. And he's like, you don't have a cavity. I'm like, but why is it so sensitive? Every time I drink something like a temperature of like a liquid or whatever, it hurts so bad if the liquid touches that area. He's like, I bet you anything because you've been grinding. You make your tooth, the pulp in your tooth all swell up. And I'm like, no, that's not a real thing that can happen. And I haven't been chewing on that side for a little while and everything because it was so sensitive. Well, he made me a bite splint, which means that I can't grind at night. It's not a night guard. It's a little different. It takes the pressure of if you smash your teeth together, it takes the pressure off your back teeth and puts it on your front teeth, which is kind of interesting because he said there's 80-something pounds of pressure and force at the fulcrum at the back of your teeth when you smash your teeth together. But he said if you smash your front teeth together, it's 30 pounds of pressure instead. And it's way better for your overall face and mouth. He's really passionate about this stuff, and I can really appreciate that because I'm passionate about dog photography. So when he talks about it and he gets so excited, I listen. And so he told me all these things, that he made me this bite splint, which makes me look insane. Sam will tell you because he said he saw me sleeping this morning and had to crack up as he exited the room because I have this giant thing in my face, which makes me, would you say it makes me look like?
You have giant buck teeth.
Yeah, it does. It's white and it sticks out and makes my lips huge. But it makes it so I'm not grinding. And I woke up today going oh my God, I feel $1 million. I haven't been grinding all night. And guess what? Today, my sensitive tooth, the one that I thought had a cavity, all good, all day. I've been putting when I drink water, I was tentatively letting the water kind of touch the tooth a little to be okay, am I going to scream? Nothing. I feel great. I feel amazing. So everybody, check into your bite. Check it. Look into your bite splints. You might love it.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Okay, that part of the podcast is over now.
Awful.
And now we can talk about the main reason we're all here, which is not for my teeth or not for my falling asleep legs, but for a photo of a dog.
You get a lot of songs.
I know. Today. Sometimes, listen, sometimes they're winners, sometimes not so much. Mm-hmm. It's just part of living with Kaylee Greer.
Yep.
Sometimes Sam goes, would you shut up already? Like in the middle of one of my songs, you'll say that. You'll come into the room and go, would you shut up already?
I don't say it like that.
Yes,
that makes me sound very mean. No, I'll say it in a meaner way because it's actually less mean.
I know,
to say it that way.
So mean because I'll be so happy. I'll be trouncing around in the kitchen going beep boop bow,
and I'll say
cool.
Hey,
cheese.
Shut up a second.
That's what you do. Yeah,
but I don't go in and go, hey, shut up.
No,
you know,
no,
I don't yell at you.
It's not abusive.
I just look you right in the eyes and be like, hey, shut up a second, because I need to say one thing.
Am I close enough to the mic? You like this?
Yeah, that's great. Ooh. Okay. Why don't we get into this photo?
Yeah, I actually have a crap ton of stuff to do today. And I just been sitting here beep booping around. But yeah, I'm glad to beep boop around. I'm glad for all my friends that we get to spend this, you know, hour and a half with or whatever it is. So hello to everyone.
Would we starting from the beginning again? Hello to everyone. Adventures in dog photography. Wow, hi. Kaylee, how has your week been? Tell me all
I'm
about it.
I'm embarrassed. Everybody heard the theme song. They heard the scratch vocals.
Yeah.
They heard the scratch. I wasn't ready yet.
Listen, they're nice
and
you
showed
tune.
Them.
They're nice and in tune.
And
it's
you
beautiful.
Showed them and they aren't in tune.
Hey, shut up a second. Would you like to describe this photo or do you like
Can
me
you
to?
Pull it up?
Yes.
This is a special episode of Adventures in Dog Photography for three reasons. Number one, new theme song, only for this week. Mm-hmm. It's a crappy old theme song that you get to see the behind the scenes of. Number two, Junie's What Is She Even results mm-hmm. and a winning Susie McCracken. Mm-hmm. And number three, this photo you are going to recognize because today we are diving into the photo that is on the cover of my book,
woo.
Which is... Kai, the Golden Retriever.
Well, what's the name of your book?
Oh, my book? My book is called Dogtography, a Knock Your Socks Off Guide to Capturing the Best Dog Photos on Earth. And you can get it today at Barnes & Noble or Amazon.com or RockyNook.com.
Yeah, all good places to get that book. By the way, like we'll talk all about it and everything, but like you had to basically choose one photo that represented dog photography.
Yeah, that was, I mean, awful. Like for an indecisive person like myself, yeah. And like I'm not regular indecisive. I'm like the worst, most expert level of indecisive a person could ever be.
Yeah, it's brutal. So we will get into it, but why don't you start by describing this photo? And again, you can hop on over to our Instagram, check out @AdventuresInDogPhotography, and you can see this photo that Kaylee is about to so eloquently and succinctly describe.
Wow, you're putting a lot of pressure on me, like maybe you should be describing it so it can be eloquent, quaint, and succinct.
So it can be clear.
Zee-boo-boo.
Yep.
Week's photo is a photograph of a gorgeous, smiling, endearing, golden retriever. And when I say golden retriever, I mean he is golden and he is sparkly. And he is, you can't really tell because this is actually like a three-quarter shot, which is a little weird for me. It doesn't include his feet or anything. It's like from his chest up. But you can see, if you really look at the photo, that he is standing atop a rock, a big rock, like a big boulder, in front of a large field, very green, grassy field with a big blue sky and a little bit of wispy clouds in the sky all around him with a bright, sunshiny sun, real sun, a bright sunshiny sun shining, you know, kind of like with a little bit of a sun flare over his shoulder right into the lens. And what's cool is it also looks like it's maybe a little windy because he's got like some wind in his hair and his little ears like flying up. So there's a lot of good like natural sort of movement in it. And it is shot, of course, in my typical style with kind of a wide angle lens. So everything looks pretty epic and with lots of like really bright kind of saturated colors.
Wow,
succinct nice. And eloquent.
Pretty succinct. But talk about like expression and that sort of thing. And like you don't get a more relaxed, endearing, smiley dog expression than this photo.
Yeah, this photo was like kind of interesting. Like, but I felt like I'll say why it was interesting later, because it was at a shoot for a product. It was like a brand shoot. Mm-hmm. And I always do at least one shot like without the product just so I can have, you know, like a dog naked, like in the nature. Like it's good for the brand to have if they want it. It's good for the owners to have. It's always good to have like at least one that isn't like just fully branded out with like product and things in it. Mm-hmm. So I made the dog go naked and we had this moment, and it is such a special moment, like you said, of like personality. It feels like, you know, in a singular image, if you could capture kind of like the spirit of dog, this feels like it does that really well. And here comes that word again, in a succinct way, mm-hmm. in a singular like stopped moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have again, like it's very close to a million photos in your Lightroom library. So to choose one that we want, like, because this is the marketing for the book. This has to sell the book based on, like, you know, a big, beautiful cover, an endearing photo, like all that stuff. And it also has to look really good in a thumbnail.
Yeah. So we'll be getting into that. Are we doing the technical of it first? Like, technically how it came to be, or the story of the shoot, well, or the book.
Let's do a little of everything. The whole, well, the what whole are we deal starting with this. Let's start with the actual day.
Okay. Okay. So this photograph, by the way, this is Kai, the golden retriever, mm-hmm. and he belongs to a friend of mine, and he is her service dog.
Yep.
So I was really excited to be able to photograph him for this particular project I was working on, which, by the way, was not for the cover of the book, because at this point in time when I shot this image, I did not know I was writing a book yet.
Yeah, this was for something else. About a year before the book, maybe 2 years before the book?
Not 2 years, probably about a year. Okay. It wasn't too far before the book, because okay. I remember thinking like, oh, I have this fresh image that I just mm-hmm. shot not that long ago that could be perfect for this. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so yeah, so this dog is, he is such a good boy. And what I love about him is that I think a lot of like service, not all service dogs, but certainly dogs that are working dogs sometimes can be so well trained that they have like the personality kind of like trained right out of them.
Yep.
Like when they wear their, you know, when they wear their vest or whatever, like they really kind of become a different dog. And that's not really the case with Kai, for better or worse. Like he is, and I think for better, he's got so much personality. And like, even when he's working, he's still kind of like, he does what he needs to do, but he's like this big goofball of a dog that is like very much full of personality, like all the time. So I thought of him for this. The cool thing about service dogs too, is like sometimes you can get access to places you might not be able to get in kind of into normally. I can't remember if we've done this photo or not yet. I feel like maybe this was in one of a grab bag episodes where we went through like a couple photos in an episode, but we did also do a shoot with him in like a carnival, like at a carnival in front of a Ferris wheel.
Yeah, I don't know that we did, so we can save that.
Yeah,
story,
we'll save it. We'll save it. But having a dog that's a service dog is really kind of cool for access to places like that you'd normally never get a dog at.
Right, especially a dog who's a real service dog.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Yeah, exactly, he's a real service dog. Okay, so, but the thing about him, too, is he's a golden retriever, and he has the best, as golden retrievers go, there, and I don't really know, you guys might know more than me even about this, but, like, there are certain, I don't know, like, subsets of golden retrievers that have, like, boofy heads, like big boofy whitey boy heads. There are different like kind of shapes and whatever of heads and goldens that I've noticed, and some of them are a little more like needly, you know what I mean, like little needle heads that are smaller, and then there's some like wide boofin heads, and I love a boofin head, like just really wide noggin that's like way too big for the body, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure by like breeding standards if that's like good or bad for goldens, but I feel like I love it, and Kai has this particular like characteristic where he's got this really boofin head, and when he like pants and quote unquote smiles, like he has kind of the like perfect dog smile, you know what I mean, like that most endearing quality of like, this is what kind of, when you think of like man and dog, woman and dog, you know, whatever, when you think of like this human dog connection, you think of this like smile, this like amazing incredible expression that like brings you like peace and relaxation and joy at the end of a day, you know what I mean? So mm-hmm. that's Kai, and so he's a handful, which is funny to say for a service dog, but he is. He's very strong, and like he's got a lot of energy and everything. So he does what he needs to do in his service role. But like when it comes to, okay, the vest's coming off and now we're going to take photos and we're going to play, he's a lot of dog.
Yeah.
He's a lot of dog. But anyway, so he was cast for, it was a small commercial shoot that we were doing, mm-hmm. small to medium. Mm-hmm. And it was for a brand. I'll shout them out because they're awesome. They're called Himmel. And they make those Himalayan like yak chew dog treats.
Yeah,
they're so great. There's a couple of brands now out there that do this, but Himmel was definitely one of the first that had this like special dog treat chew. I think it's like yak milk, right?
It's that's the only ingredient. It's just yak milk.
Yeah, right. And it like hardens, and then it's like healthy and right. I think yeah. don't quote me on this, guys. I'm not a dog nutritionist, but I'm pretty sure these things are pretty like,
I think for as far as like a big chew goes, I think it's pretty healthy because you don't have like a bunch of weird, you know, chemicals or like things that can splinter off and, you know, Joshua was obsessed with them.
They love them. Yeah. So that was a good news. Is like the dogs that I photographed for this campaign, because they wanted dogs like really enjoying the treat, like the yak milk treat and everything. I did not have to fake it. There was never a time where I was like, all right, let me just put this treat really quick in the frame before the dog like runs away from it. You know what I mean? Which, by the way, does happen sometimes in commercial shoots, because like the dogs just don't genuinely want to interact with the product. But this was awesome because the dogs were obsessed with it. So every time I popped one out, it was so easy to get them to just lay there and hold the thing in their mouth because they're going to sit there and chew it anyway. Mm-hmm. So that was awesome. So we cast Kai for this shoot for Himmel. And they just needed, I want to say like 6 photos for like a campaign they were doing. These images got printed on like some of the product bags, but I think their main use was for their trade show displays, which was awesome because we saw it in person.
We got to see them at Super Zoo
in Las Vegas.
And they did like, for a small company, they did probably the best job that I've ever seen of like really utilizing your photos to the absolute like biggest way possible. I mean, they printed it like full size, like all over their trade show booth. It was everywhere and it was very colorful and very much stood out.
I will say, like, even it's hard to be objective because they're my own photos, but like from across the trade show floor, I was like, oh my god, that is the most eye-catching booth here.
Yeah,
it looked amazing. They had, the photos were huge. They must have been like, what, 12-14 feet tall. Yeah,
they really went all out with it.
It was awesome. It's awesome to see that, because I mean, often, like, listen, behind the scenes here on this podcast, we'll say often brands don't really make the best use of like incredible imagery, or they just don't know how, or they, I always say, they don't really know what's good for them.
Yeah, it's like, okay, we're gonna like, we'll use this photo as like the header for like an end cap display for like dog food, but for like the bags of dog food, let's just stick with like dog on white because it's safe.
Yeah, so at this shoot, we should, when we share this image on Instagram, we'll start with this one. It's going to be kind of weird for some of you who do have this book and have had it for a while to see this image like without the title, you know what I mean? And stuff that you're so used to seeing it in a certain way. But we'll get to the book part of it in a minute. But as far as the shoot goes, we had Kai, the golden retriever, and then we had Dobby, the poodle. And if you know me and you followed me for long enough, you know Dobby. He was like my muse. He was my poodly muse. But Dobby, while an amazing model and absolutely gorgeous, hasn't always been the most commercial looking dog because he had a mohawk and dyed hair all the time.
He's very specific looking, where Kai is very much like an every dog
sort of thing. Yeah, exactly. So we did use Dobby and we got some awesome shots that the people at the company loved and used, but the kind of the more like quote unquote every dog, like Sam was saying, was Kai for this. And then we actually, Joshua modeled a little for this, and we did a couple other dogs too, some corgis and also a little like pit bull lab puppy. So we had some fun like options for the brand. But on this day we had Kai and Dobby. So Kai the golden retriever and Dobby the poodle. And they're both like, Dobby was the best trained dog I've pretty much ever worked with, and so he could do anything. So if we just asked him to hold the treat and he would just sit there and hold it, he was incredible. But anyway, I think we should show pictures from the shoot. Let's show the Dobby ones too, like everything we got.
Do you want to say where this was shot?
This is a place that's kind of by us that I shoot at a lot with my clients. It's in Andover, Massachusetts, if that means anything to anyone. Probably not. But it's like a basically like a big, huge kind of like field. It's, I don't want to say that it's a farm, but I think it used to be like farmland. And now they just kind of let it grow a little wild. They don't really put crops on it anymore.
Yeah. Like if you look at the photo, like there's like some really nice grass in the sky, and you can tell at the bottom of it, there's like a little bit of a rock that you can see.
Yeah. So Kai is standing up on that rock.
Yeah. So this is a great like anywhere sort of location.
Yeah. Well, that was a big reason why, and we'll get to that when we get to the book part of things, but that was a big reason why this image got selected for the cover.
Right. So like, yeah, this is one of those like little hidden bits of information that we'll drop in this wacky podcast that we do, where, you know, some locations are anywhere locations and some locations are somewhere locations. So we'll get this sometimes when people travel to us. They'll come to Boston, they'll do a shoot, and they're coming from, you know, Ohio or something. And I'll ask them ahead of time, like, do you want this photo shoot to be like photos of Rex, or do you want this photo shoot to be like Rex's trip to Boston? Because like that's going to really determine like where we go and how we shoot. Because not everyone from Ohio pictures their dog and they picture them in Boston. You know what I mean? It's a very specific look.
Yeah, I think I prefer mostly to keep locations quite anonymous, like kind of anywhere locations, because it's all about the story of the dog. Yeah. And I will, like, even when we go to like the water or the beach, like I try to keep it very like simple beach without too many like iconic landmarks or anything, unless the person, like you said, requests specifically to be like, Boston is my home, Boston is where I met this dog, he changed my life here, I got married here, I got, you know, whatever, I had my kids here, like this is my city and it means everything to me, I want the skyline of Boston,
I want a Dunkin' Donuts in the background.
Yeah, right, whatever. But mostly I try to go to for like images that aren't gonna, I mean, the background is going to only enhance, but not necessarily distract, because it's like, oh, this is such a specific place or whatever.
Yeah.
Well, I say that, but then I have photos of dogs like in front of the Colosseum and things like that. But
yeah, well, they serve their own purpose as well. But for something like this, like you said, for the book, like you don't want a landmark on the front. You want it to be all about the dog. And this is just a nice, beautiful location that, like you said, is basically like field, sky, and a rock.
The sense of like the anywhere also was very important for this commercial shoot. Often, like, without even getting to the books, we're not even at that part yet, we're still in the commercial shoot for Himmel Dog Treat, and for those brands I also look for something that is very much like an anonymous sort of anywhere, because their marketing, if you think about it, you know, they're marketing to people all over the United States, potentially all over the world, so brands are often very interested in and drawn to locations that are like quite general, in that they are like a field in a sky, or like maybe some sand in sky. Like, it's going to be very simplistic, because they want to be able to market in Florida and in Texas, but also Alaska, and have people like be able to relate to the place, like ground them in a natural place that just feels like it could be their home, you know, or something they can, again, relate to or feel maybe like connected to emotionally in some way.
Yeah, there are even locations that are like that still kind of meet that criteria, but are still specific. Like, you can look at it and be like, that's Moab. You know what I mean? Because like, even though it's just ground and sky, the ground is bright red.
Right.
You know, or like something that gives it away, that like, oh, there's a palm tree in the background, that's Florida. Or like, oh, it's, you know, fall colors, like this is New England. Like, the photo can still be really simple and tell where it is. So whether you want that or not is something that's definitely dependent on like you and the shoot and the purpose of the shoot and all that stuff. But this photo, I mean, like, if you didn't outright say like, oh, this is Andover, Massachusetts, like, that could definitely be an anywhere photo.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Which made it a good contender for a lot of different things and uses and things like that on my end. But yeah, so like I said, this was for, you know, a dog treat company. So we brought Dobby and Kai. This was just one day of many days that we shot, because like I mentioned, all those other dog models, those were dogs on different days. But today we had, you know, these two, and we brought plenty of like the product, the bags of the product, so we could do like some product shots as well, just product by itself, product with dogs, in the bag, out of the bag, you know, all kinds of things. We had dogs, we had these guys running and playing. Often if it's a company that like manufactures like toys and things like that, they want a lot of like action. And, you know, Himmel Dog Treat, not so much. I mean, mostly it's like the dog enjoying the treat, which is its own form of action, but not necessarily like running with the treat, even though we do have photos of Dobby running with the treat.
Yeah, I do love the photo we'll share it of Joshua with this tree too, because he's holding it in between his paws.
So cute.
And gnawing on the top of it with his giant head.
It's so cute.
It's very endearing. When dogs hold something like that with both their front paws, it's, yeah.
And Junie tries to do that sometimes.
Oh, that I hold it for.
It's so cute though. She does though. Sometimes she wraps her little like, digits around like something, like she only has the one paw, but she'll like wrap her little fingers around as much as she can, and she still can kind of hold on to things, or she'll push it down onto the ground and use the like force from the ground to pin it down. So cute.
If we could only give her a thumb.
Yeah, just
I think that would go a long way.
One opposable thumb.
Yep.
Yeah, so as far as the set, do you have the settings for this photo?
Yep.
Do I just hit I right here?
You don't have to. I know them. Do you want to guess them? Because they're pretty much like every other photo we've
ever
done.
Yeah, this is a very typical dog breathy boy right here. This is on, I'm just trying to think of when I shot this. Would I have had the 11 to 24 yet?
Yep.
I think I did. Okay. You didn't have to spoil it. I was thinking.
Okay.
But I was going to say, I think I did without you saying that. So I think this is the 11 to 24. I think it's shot at F14. And I know it was with a light. I know that. And I think it was ISO 100 and 1/200 of a second.
Yeah, it's all of those things.
Wait, I was was right about 14.
Yeah, it's F-14.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, killing it.
Doesn't it look like F-14? Doesn't look like F-13 to me.
I don't That's know because I just looked at the trees in the background and I thought, yeah, no, those are relatively in focus. Yeah. And so is the sky. Like the texture in the sky is like pretty with it. Mm-hmm. Still kind of like in focus. So anyway, I think what I love so much about this photo and why it won a lot of categories for me in terms of being used in places mm-hmm. is that Kaya's leaning in, like really leaning into my lens,
yeah.
which is why his head looks like so boofy and like endearing, and like you can interact with him and like you could reach through the frame and just give him a big kiss. You know what I mean? Because he's leaning in. So often when dogs sit, their body shifts so that their head kind of moves backward and away from your camera, which can be nice sometimes. But if you really want them to look like they're leaning in, then you've got to have them stand, because if you think about it, when they stand up, their head then comes forward like in front of their shoulders. But when they sit, it goes back and almost lines up with their shoulders, so that it's not as immersive when a dog is sitting rather than when they're standing and leaning in.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what's happening here. It's partly why I'm so obsessed with this photo and I love it so much.
Yeah. When we're culling through photos as well, like you might get like a number of different photos that are very, very similar, but that's one of those very subtle things to look for in between shots. It's like, oh, this one he's leaning a little bit back, but this one he's leaning forward. That's the winner.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, just like those little subtle things to look out for that go a long way into making, you know, the overall image. So yeah, the lean forward is huge for this one.
Okay. So, and also you guys are listening and you're like, okay, well you shot this for a commercial like client and for a brand who hired you. So then how could you possibly like use it elsewhere and all these other things? And that's a great question. And the answer to that is that in this case, Himmel hired me to produce, I think it was something like 6 final images, and kind of gave me free reign, pretty nice free reign compared to some of my commercial clients, and that they were like, you know, you source the dog models, you kind of find the locations, we'll generally approve everything from afar, but you kind of do your thing with our product and we'll like ultimately pick 6 from like a gallery that you put together for us. So that meant that I had all the dog owners sign model releases. Of course, they knew what the images were being produced for and what they were being used for in terms of the brand. But then also the model releases cover basically any other thing that I could need them for as dog breath photography. Now, I would never take a photo like with one of my brand clients' products in it and then be like, I'm also going to use this over here. Because that to me feels a little disingenuous if they're paying me to shoot like special photos for their brand and it's got their product in it. Say the dog's wearing a shirt or something that they make or a jacket that they make. I'm not going to be like, oh, I'm also going to use this for like XYZ other project unless the jacket is just completely like there's no logo showing or anything like that. But in this case, I knew that this was kind of towards the end of the shoot. I knew I had nailed all the brand images and I was like obsessed with them. I was very happy with them. I felt, okay, we're done with that. Like we got really strong images for the brand. Like I said at the beginning, now we ask Kai to disrobe, what's the word? I'm not sure. And kind of take off his collar and all of his stuff and remove the product entirely and just kind of be like, okay, now we're on our own time. And I have this gorgeous dog in front of me with the most sparkly eyes and I have this amazing sky. If you know me, then you would say, you know, I'm not just going to leave at that point.
No.
I'm going to keep shooting because everything looks
black,
amazing.
We're shooting.
So basically at that point, I'm like, okay, now I'm creating images for me and like for dog breath and, you know, for any like, you know, whatever, mostly just for my portfolio and for my like enjoyment, but also like paying the dog models is dog model owners is always a little bit different from brand to brand. Some brands have really big budgets to pay for the dog model owners. Other people say like, is there any way, you know, we could pay them in like some product as well as like your a photo of them and they'd be happy to do it for that. So this is one of those cases where it's like a smaller brand. So the dog's got like packages of product as well as images from me as payment. So I also knew like, okay, I want to make Kai's parents like a beautiful portrait that doesn't necessarily have like dog trees all over it. You know what I mean? So that's kind of what I was going on in my head at this point. It was like, I'm going to make stuff for me and stuff for the dog owner.
Yeah.
So that's what that is. So that's kind of how this came to be, even though it was at the end of a brand shoot. I don't recall if I showed this to Himmel. Like I might've shown it to them, but I know in the end they did not choose this one
yeah.
because it didn't have any of their stuff in it.
Yeah, it would be more of a lifestyle shot than like an actual product shot.
Right. Yeah, which is, exactly.
Isn't usually like the first choice for a lot of brands. And again, like if unless you're doing like a work for hire, which you should
never
should
do
not
that.
Do as
don't
a
even say those words.
Yeah. If you sign on for something like that, you know, you're just an operator of the camera. You have absolutely no rights whatsoever to any of the things that come
every
out of your camera.
Every image that you create, the copyright immediately belongs to the person who hired you, which is a bad move. Don't do that.
So don't do work for hire. But yeah, other than that, like, yes, you technically own the copyright to every single image that you take, and you can do pretty much whatever you want with it, especially if you have the right releases and that sort of thing.
Yeah, well, and because this was not one of their final selects, mm-hmm. I was like, okay, everything that they didn't select reverts back to me. You know what I mean? Like, even technically, the license that they had, even the ones they did select, I could technically still use totally legally on my end.
Correct.
But usually, because it has their product in it, mm-hmm. like for example, I'll post some of the ones that we shot from this session with the treat in it to Instagram for you guys to see for the purposes of this podcast. And that's totally fine and within my rights mm-hmm. because of the way that we set up the deal and the contracts that were signed.
Yeah.
But with that said, just out of like respect, I usually don't. If a brand selects, say they have six final images, even if they're not necessarily paying for full exclusivity, which is very expensive, I usually still try as best I can to avoid ever having those images show up anywhere else because I just am so grateful to my clients and I really want to show them like as much respect as I can and make sure that they feel they got something extremely special that's theirs and like kind of theirs alone, you know?
Right. And even if you're selling like a license that is, you know, full exclusivity, you know, in perpetuity, like in all arenas, like, you know, full usage or whatever, that still doesn't mean that they own the copyright to the image. You still own the copyright.
True.
And if anyone's thinking like, what's the difference? Basically the difference is if they were to own the copyright, then they would have the ability to license the image out to other, like they would be able to sell the image.
They could sell it. Yeah. They could sell it.
Which is not something that's included in a usage license.
It'd be like, okay, like, this dog food company has this license to this dog photo that you made for them and you made it 10 years ago and then now they're done with it and they're not going to use it in the marketing anymore, but Weezer comes to them and says, we're doing a new album and we need a dog photo and we saw this one in your advertising and we love it. And then that pet food company could be like, yep, here you go. We'll sell you the rights to use this on your album for $150,000.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's very rare and would likely never happen, but it could happen, or it could be sold to be used in a weird place or like whatever. I only use Weezer as an example because they have an awesome album with a dog on the cover.
Check out the 2009 Weezer album, Ratitude.
Ratitude. I love that photo.
It does have a very fun dog photo on the cover.
I love that photo. But anyway, so you just have to like protect yourself from things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So we should talk about the book cover.
The book
cover. Aspect of it.
You know what I found as well, and which if you are interested, we could post to the Instagram. I found all the alts.
Oh, yeah. We had a lot of alts.
Yeah.
Well, but specifically one very close contender.
Yeah. I found a little PDF that has, I think, like six alternative book covers that we put together. And if you want to, we can share them because there is a reason that this one eventually won, you know, and I think we made the right choice.
Yeah, definitely. I have no regrets. And for somebody who has massive indecision problems, like I said, I feel really happy about this decision.
No regrets.
But so basically, you know, when it came to designing the cover of Dogtography, my publisher was really awesome. Rocky Nook, shout out. They were so awesome to work with when it came to like really giving me a lot of like autonomy and control over my book and the way it would look and the size of it and, you know, the paper quality and all the things they really let me have control over. And they were like, listen, like, for the cover, like, we're pretty much open to like your suggestions. Like, some publishers would be like, this is your cover and that's it, or like you have these two options or whatever, but they were like, show us what you think. So I was like, okay, awesome. I know for sure I did not want multiple images on a cover. I knew that.
Mm-hmm.
That is such a mistake. I see that happen a lot. And I mean, listen, I'm not actually like a graphic designer by trade or anything, as you guys know, but I feel like I know really good design when I see it. And I know what's like incredibly effective, like psychologically for the public when like upon public consumption of like graphics and visuals. I feel pretty confident about that. And I have seen a lot of books in all industries, all genres, where like people clearly like couldn't really make a decision. So they threw like 4 to 8 images on a cover and just like in a collage almost. And I feel really strongly that that is like a bad idea. Even if the images are all incredibly cohesive, I still don't like it. But often the images and scenarios like that aren't even cohesive. They're just like random tidbits of different looking images. So not a fan of that. I don't think it's very effective. So I was happy when Rocky Nick was like, do it how you would want to do it and show us. So I'm like, okay, definitely one image. One singular, huge, full bleed image that covers, like, in your face, that covers the entire front cover. So that kind of sucks in the way that, you know, I have millions of photos that I love so much. And to be realistic, like, the number of ones that I'm like 10 out of 10 obsessed with is in the hundreds. You know what I mean? Like, yes, I have millions, but there's like hundreds that I like realistically could have used. And I went through so many like iterations of the design of this cover from my end. Like, I just kept popping new images into the layout and I'd be like, oh my God, my heart skips a beat. Oh my God, that's incredible. Oh, that's insane. You know, and I had so many options that I loved. And believe me, my number one choice was Joshua. I wanted a Joshua on the cover. Of course, because he's my young man. He's my boy. And so I really wanted that. But what I knew I needed was a really in-your-face photo. I knew it shouldn't be a full body shot, that it should be like a face shot because it's so impactful. Don't show me that yet because I'm going to get so distracted. Sam's got like all the cover options, but I've got to think. Okay, so here's the thing. Here's what I knew. On my Instagram, as frustrating as it can be, some of the images that I post that don't get a huge reaction are like some of my favorite photos that I've ever taken. And they're like maybe some of the technically the most challenging, the hardest photos I've ever taken. And I pulled it off and I feel so proud of them. And they're like, maybe they'll be like an epic like vista of mountains with like a sheepdog standing in the golden light. And it's like, he's looking off on the cliffs and it's like this most amazing shot. The problem is when the shots are a little bit more like pulled back like that and the dog is like smaller in the frame, those images, no matter how much I love them, never get as much attention on social media. Never. And it's because, like on Instagram, you're looking at images the size of, you know, like a thumbnail. Like they might be like, what, half an inch, like tall? I don't, maybe an inch tall, you'll inch tall, inch wide.
Postage stamp
size. Yeah, whatever. Yeah. You know what I mean? So people can't really appreciate the vista or the dog's beautiful body language or stance or whatever. The ones that get the most attention far and above, and I went back through my Instagram and I looked at all the stats, are the images that are like close up face shots of like a giant dog head. So they could be really simple images, really simple to shoot, like my more simplistic images where it's like the giant corgi head and it's his huge ears and his big eyes and his little smile. And then there's no body, nothing. And there's no background. There's like a sky, like nothing totally storytelling or anything like that. They perform so with so much strength on my Instagram that I'm like, okay, I know that the book cover has to be something like that. I'll try to move through this quickly because I have so many thoughts about this, but like Sam had said at the beginning, not only is this book going to be like a physical book that's on the shelves at a bookstore, which is going to be like, it's quite big. How big is it? Like 12 inches wide or 14, 15, 16 inches wide?
I think it's a 9x13.
Yeah, it's big. Like for a book, it's huge. It's like a textbook that you would get in like your science class at high school. Like it's big. And I thought, okay, the image is going to be printed that size, fine, right? Like 9x13, for example. And in real life, that's great. That's awesome. It's pretty big. It's going to be pretty eye-catching. However, 98% of like the sales of this book, unfortunately, in this day and age, are going to happen online. It's going to be from Amazon. It's going to be from Rocky Nook's website. It's going to be from Barnes & Noble's website, like whatever. The amount of people going in-store to buy a book anymore is, you know, so, so small that you're like, okay, I have to cater to like the 98% of people that are going to see this online. And when they see it online, it's not a full website screen size. It's the size of an Amazon listing product thumbnail. You know what I mean? The thumbnail. So you're thinking, okay, my phone is, you know, X amount. Well, what is it? Like 2 inches wide? I don't know. 3 inches wide? How wide is a phone screen?
Yeah, probably,
it's probably like 2 or 3 inches, 2.5 inches wide.
Probably 3 inches wide.
And then you think, okay, but it's not even going to take up that whole width. It's going to take up like 1/3 of that width because to the right of it has to be words. You know what I mean? It has to be like the title of the book and the ISBN number and the summary and all that stuff. So you're like, oh my God, it's getting smaller and smaller and smaller. It's like a speck. It's as small as a speck. I need something that's going to immediately tell people this is a book about dogs. This is a book about dog photography. It's an incredibly approachable book in that it's like warm and friendly and endearing, and it invites you in, and it has super joyful vibes, because I have seen some, you know, books in the dog space or the photography industry or whatever that might have quite a stoic image on the front. Like, they're trying to kind of convey like how serious the subject is and how like classical the work might be inside and how much a scholar you have to be to read the book. Fine, that's all good, and that's a brand. That's a certain type of brand. But this was, how can this be the most fun looking book that you ever will get to read about photography? And it's the most fun subject in the world, and it has to be endearing and approachable and warm. So what happened was, what I did was I went through all my images and I found all the ones that were really strong, that were really up close face shots. And then from those, I went with like, I might have had like 50 that I felt like were like really strong and up close. And then through those, I went and found like the top 10% happiest looking dogs, because some of them were a little more serious, some of them were happy, but they were like mildly happy. Others were very happy, but then this like top 10% were like over the top, like just so super happy, but still without looking stressed at all. You know what I mean? Without looking like deliriously like anxiety happy, because you guys, if you know dogs, you know that dogs can also go into that territory where they look like insanely happy. You know what I mean? And that is not approachable either from like a dog training standpoint. So that was kind of the big idea with this photo of Kai, is how I landed on him. And in the end, I think I landed on him and maybe like four or five other dogs. One of them was Joshua. But then the backup information that you had to start to think about was, okay, now when this is a small thumbnail, we've got the expression nailed. We've got the size of the dog's head nailed. Now, what about color? Because every dog is a different color. And Joshua so happens to be a darker colored dog. He's got like this kind of dark brindley color. It's like a deep brown. Sometimes it looks almost gray in certain lights. And yeah, he has got a nice white stripe, but he's overall much darker like color palette. Mm-hmm. And then there was another dog that was a huge contender, was my number two contender. And actually this dog, who was going to be the other, like the other cover option, ended up on the title page of the book. So instead of the cover, when you open the book and the very first page has like the title of the book again, and it has like the publishing date or whatever, all those things, it's, her name is Ruby, and she's the most gorgeous little Muppet dog you've ever seen. Mm-hmm. She's like a little scruffy, like terrier mix, gorgeous little thing. And she was like a huge contender for the cover for me. But Ruby is also like a dark gray. So I realized that like when you were looking at this tiny thumbnail and you had these like gray dogs or brown dogs, they just did not pop like color wise like Kai popped, or a couple of other lighter colored dogs. Now, the thing about the other like part of the psychology of why Kai works so well is that it's like a color theory thing, because he's almost like he's a golden retriever, but he's yellow. He's like very yellow looking. So it's his yellow on the blue sky is primary. Those two primary colors are opposite of each other on the color wheel. Right?
Yep.
So that's like a huge color psychology thing that draws people in so quickly, because that's like a psychology that's incredibly like alluring, and it kind of catches your attention. Subconsciously, we all love that color combination from a very primal place. So even if you glanced at the thumbnail and you didn't recognize that it was a dog, you would be like, oh, yellow and blue, like so bright, so beautiful together. That was like kind of what pushed Kai over the edge over Ruby, because while I loved Ruby's, I was obsessed with her expression and her ears and her whimsy, she was just a darker gray, and she just did not pop the same as Kai did off of the colored background. So that was another reason why Kai kind of won the book cover war. So it was funny though, because I was going crazy, pulling my hair out, trying to figure out what to do. I would pull the images up on our huge 65 inch screen TV in the living room, and I sat there with each photo pulled up on the huge screen of our TV, and I sat on the couch seriously for hours, flipping back and forth between the two images, going, oh my God, I'm just trying to gauge my like quick reaction to them. And I felt so torn that I ended up doing like a survey, like a poll on my social media. I did it on Facebook and on Instagram. And I put up the two cover options and I was like, can you guys please help me? I need a public opinion on which one is more powerful. Do you know that the survey on the one on Instagram where you can do a poll, mm-hmm, came back Kai versus Ruby, 50-50. Not 51-49, 50-50. And it wasn't just, oh, like 10 people that took this. There was thousands, tens of thousands of people took the poll. like 10,000 people at least. And it was 50-50. And it would sometimes like flick to 51-49, flick back, flick. And in the end, I swear to you, it landed, it ended on the end day at 50-50. And I was like, are you kidding me? This is not helping me at all. But on Facebook, where I did the poll, it was extremely close, but it was slightly more for Kai, the golden retriever. And I felt in my heart of hearts like, also, I had a golden retriever when I grew up, and that dog, Ginger, was the first dog that ever made me look at dogs the way that I do today. And I felt so, so endeared to Ginger, and she like really helped change my view, not change, like create my viewpoint, really, because I was like 5 years old, you know, create this viewpoint that I have of looking at dogs like they're kings or queens, you know, like they're superhero, like they're royalty. And so like with that really deep personal connection to a golden retriever, and then also additionally with the knowledge that like the golden retriever is America's favorite dog, and I know that that'll appeal to like the most people, like searching the bookshop or whatever, Kai ended up having the slight edge in the end. But I have to tell you, like, I'm so happy with the choice. I wish it was Joshua. I definitely do wish it was Joshua. And I wish it was a pit bull. Like, sometimes I feel like, man, I should have had a pit bull on there. But I actually feel like in my heart of hearts, like out of my photo library that I had created at that time and what I was looking through, there was like no more perfect photo than this one of Kai. And one more thing, I know I've been talking like nonstop and you look like you could
sleep at any moment.
Yeah, sleep, or kill me or slowly murder me in my sleep with my bite splint on tonight. My last point, what was I thinking? Oh, remember when we talked about how this photo, the background of it is extremely like anywhere USA, mm-hmm. anywhere in the world, really? That also in the end was like really a massive push in the direction of picking this photo, because the cover really needed to be kind of anywhere, like this whimsical anywhere that you would go with your best friend. So that's kind of why it worked out so well, because I will say the other thing about the Joshua photo was that it was much less of an anywhere location in the photo. It was like you could see, I can't remember, like a couple buildings off in the distance or something that kind of made it feel a little bit regional, you know what I mean? And so between the fact that Joshua was a much darker color and the colors in the photo in general didn't pop the same way that Kai did, and then the location wasn't as strong, that's kind of how we ended up here.
Yeah.
Well, long story, but that's the story.
it's remarkable that much thought went into it, but it was all...
Oh, it did.
But it was all worthwhile in the end for the perfect cover for that book. What we'll do is we'll post some of the not even like the final contenders, but like some of like the total alts for the cover on the Instagram, because you'll see what it looks like with Ruby on there. And for me, like, not only is she you know, black and white as opposed to that yellowy golden color, but she's not necessarily decipherable as a dog right away.
Well, that was the biggest thing. I felt like she didn't read visually as quickly as Kai did as a dog.
Yep.
Just because she looks like a Muppet.
There's another great alternative cover that I love, love, love. It's a super, super close-up photo of a Mastiff face, and it's really funny, but at the same time, his expression is like too serious or glum almost.
What's the word? Did you say?
Glum.
Glum.
You'll see.
Wait, it's not glib. Is glib that,
those
word?
Those are two different words.
Is that word?
That's why they're spelled and pronounced differently.
Yeah, I know, but what does glib mean? Because I think it might mean the same thing.
Well, look it up.
Google in.
And then there's a photo of a dog who's much...
insincere and shallow.
Okay. There's a dog who's much smaller in the frame from New Zealand, where you get some more of like the background.
Yeah.
And you can see...
Oh my gosh, that's wild to see those alternate versions now.
And you can see like Let me see them. You can see how the impact is a little bit different than if it was just a big, big dog face. So we'll post some of those to the Instagram, because again, we're living in a world of alts today with our demo of the theme song.
That's a good point. Good job.
And then the alternative covers. And Kaylee, I got to be totally frank with you. If you want to eat your corned beef tonight, we gotta wrap this thing up.
I have to pee so bad anyway, like so bad it's coming out my eyes.
Okay. Well, on that note,
it's filled up past my bladder. It's filled up past my bladder and into my eyeballs, and it's gonna come out now.
Oh, we're ending gross, huh?
Yeah. Definitively gross.
Adventures in Dog Photography with Kaylee Greer and Sam Haddix is a Dog Breath production. Follow us on Instagram at Adventures in Dog Photography and be sure to rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.